This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. America has embraced Me Too, and now that movement has sparked another rallying cry. Time's up. It's an initiative launched in response to allegations of rampant sexual harassment in Hollywood. Time's Up established a $13 million legal defense fund to advocate punishing companies that tolerate sexual harassment. It also addresses pay inequity and other forms of discrimination. Now the initiative is broadening its scope beyond Hollywood to healthcare. Let's discuss it with two of its most vocal advocates. One is a doctor, and the other plays one on TV. Joining us from the Walt Disney Studios in Burbank, California, is Tracy Ellis Ross. She plays Dr. Rainbow Johnson on the ABC sitcom Black-ish. She is a founding member of Time's Up, and she's on the advisory board of Time's Up Entertainment. Tracy, welcome to 1A.
Thank you for having me.
And joining us from Detroit is Dr. Barbara Ross Lee, a pioneer in osteopathic medicine and education. She is on the Time's Up Healthcare Advisory Board, and yes, they are indeed related. The doctor is both Tracy's aunt and the sister of Diana Ross. Dr. Ross Lee, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, when the Time's Up movement was announced last January, it forced a very necessary conversation about sexual harassment and gender pay disparities in Hollywood. Tracy Ellis Ross, let me start with that before we broaden out to healthcare. How has that conversation been going so far? Have there been any early successes?
I think there's been a lot of early successes. I think the biggest is bringing the conversation to the forefront. It's an old experience, but a newer conversation, how the conversation is being had and the work that's being done to actually change systemically and culturally what we are experiencing. And I think with Time's Up specifically, the Legal Defense Fund was formed to actually create financial and legal support for those people that are having those experiences. And also help support safer, more equal work environments that change that imbalance across the board. And I think that's why it's sort of expanded out further into other industries, because this is not an industry-specific situation, and it's not a sort of sensational experience. It's something that is baked into our society and culture that we are attempting to unpack and undo and change.
Dr. Ross Lee, how did you get involved with the Time's Up healthcare initiative?
Well, of course, I've been involved with women's issues in healthcare, both from a workforce perspective as well as a patient care perspective for, 25, 30 years. And I was approached because, you know, this is kind of the perfect time to get some visibility on the issue, having been one of the very few minority and female physicians when I started in medicine. It's like, yeah, time's up. Let's all I take this time to not wait for a solution, but become a part of the solution. And so I was very pleased to serve as an advisor.
Well, Dr. Lee, what are some of the goals of Time's Up Healthcare?
Well, the goals are what you might expect and consistent and well-aligned with Time's Up, the umbrella organization's goal. Number one, it's to help develop a workplace that's without harassment or abuse, to provide opportunities and equity in moving ahead in the healthcare industry. And of course, really, since healthcare is such a large industry, making sure that we can track progress and make the system and all of the institutions and organizations involved accountable for improving the workplace from a gender disparity perspective.
Now, Doctor, you're something of a veteran and a pioneer in the field of osteopathic medicine. As I understand it, you were the first black woman to lead a U.S. medical school, the Ohio University Heritage College of Osteopathic Medicine, and you started out in medicine in the 70s. Give me a sense of what you encountered as not just a woman in that field, but a black woman in that field at that time.
Can I pause to just say, oh, wow? I feel very proud of my aunt.
Well, Tracy, what makes you the most proud?
Well, you know, I think it's such an interesting thing. I, as an adult, have moved into this place of advocacy and really, like Aunt Bobby, I'm just going to call her that, like Aunt Bobby said, you know, I have been invested in the equity and equality of gender issues since I joined the workforce and sort of came into my own experiences with that and also saw the inequities that others were experiencing and the unsafe work environment that many express and tell stories about, but also that you see. But for me, having a family member and family members that have been at the forefront of this work is the reminder that this is work and that's been going on way longer than my own experience and even my own life, and that we are still in a position where we're attempting to balance these scales and create safer work environments and even help people to understand what gender equity even means and what equality means. I feel really proud that I come from a family of strong, intelligent, and fair-minded women and Black women, and that my aunt is a woman that's been at the forefront of that in the healthcare industry is something that makes me feel very proud, even though I had no responsibility in all the work that she's done. I just got to benefit from it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hear you, Tracy. I think that's something that is echoed by quite a few people, not just in the Time's Up movement, but other movements about how grateful they are about the work that was done before them. And Doctor, I wonder if there are one or two particular things that you've seen that have changed since you got into the business, for better or for worse?
Well, certainly the number of women in the healthcare workforce now is just astounding. I never would have believed that we could have grown so rapidly in the number of women, certainly in the health professions and in medicine. But the issues are cultural, and they're deep, and they're wide. And although we have many women, they're still striving to get into power or leadership positions to affect the changes that need to be implemented in the environment, workplace environment. So, yeah, I've seen much progress, but much progress still is left to be made.
Doctor, give me an example of one of those changes that needs to be implemented that perhaps one of your male colleagues, well-meaning though they are, might never think of, that it might not occur to them that this is an area in which women in healthcare need a little more support, need to have something addressed. Give me an example.
Oh, there's some really quick and easy examples. One is compensation, that women in the healthcare workforce, and particularly as they move through leadership positions, they're not given the same compensation or support system that would allow them to excel and be successful.
Yeah, you could go on and on. I was going to say that's the same. I think that's across the board in all industries. And I think that's one of the reasons having these different areas pop up is so important, because you start to see the similarities across the board. And just to change your language a little bit, Joshua, you said where women need more support. And I don't know that it's about necessarily the word support, but instead changing people's understanding of what equality means. And it's not, it's specifically about equality, not about women needing that support. It's about laying the foundation that has a different understanding of people should be paid and compensated for the work that they do, not based on the color of their skin, their gender, their age, or anything. You're paid for the work that you do. And I think putting women, having inclusive and diverse leadership tables, actually changes how that happens. They say that when women are in positions of power and when there's a more equal diversity in those positions of power, that it authentically creates safer work environments. And I think equity is part of that. The pay equity is part of that.
Can I clarify?
I don't know if I explained that well.
Yeah, well, you did. I just want to make sure that I'm clear on what you're referring to, Tracy, because I think when some folks talk about, for example, you know, addressing racism, they'll say that they want to live in a society where people don't see race. They just see people. Are you referring to kind of a workforce where colleagues don't see gender, they just see doctors and nurses, or?
No, and first of all, I don't think we're there yet. Sure, I think that's a utopian society we would all like to live in. I think there's a lot of a lot that needs to happen until we achieve that place. That's not where we are now. In order to get to that place, there are systemic changes that need to occur and cultural different understandings of what that means, what equal means. So I personally don't see the world as colorblind. I think the world is colorful. I don't see the world as genderless. I see the world as full of fluid kinds of gender. But how you present that and how you choose to do that is not actually the thing that's in question here. It's about how we compensating people for the work that they do.
And let me just expand on that, because I don't think it's a good thing to aspire to have a colorless, neutral, blah society. I think the power, particularly in healthcare, the power is the diversity, because that diversity brings a perspective. And the perspective allows us to achieve excellence because we have everybody included. Excellence in treating, you know, kind of the fundamental human condition as a part of healthcare.
Well, I do want to talk more about that. We have to pause for just a moment, but I do want to talk more about how we reach that point when we continue our conversation with Dr. Barbara Ross Lee and Tracy Ellis Ross. I'm Joshua Johnson, and you're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Rothy's. Rothy's is the everyday flat for life on the go that comes in four fashionable styles for women: the flat, the point, the loafer, and the sneaker. Fun designs and patterns while still looking polished and professional, with new colors launched every few weeks. Best of all, Rothy's are made from recycled plastic water bottles and completely machine washable, so you can feel good about wearing them. Go to Rothy's.com and enter code 1A to get your flats and free shipping.
We may be on the verge of another sexual revolution. In this one, we turn to machines for companionship and sex.
My main objective is to be a perfect companion.
How artificial intelligence and robots are changing the landscape of love, this week on Hidden Brain.
This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson. We're discussing the Time's Up initiative growing from entertainment into a new focus on healthcare with its advisory board member, Dr. Barbara Ross Lee, and with actor Tracy Ellis Ross, who is a founding member of Time's Up and a member of the advisory board of Time's Up Entertainment. Tracy, you play Rainbow Johnson on Black-ish. Dr. Johnson is an anesthesiologist, and the show has addressed sexual harassment and sexism that your character has faced on the job. Here's a brief clip with two examples of how this has been dealt with on Black-ish.
Excuse me, Nurse Moonbeam.
Oh, it's actually Dr. Rainbow. Johnson.
Whatever, hon, I'm married. Okay, now, scooch over. Excuse me, Dr. Honeybun, I gotta jump in here real quick. But I got an excuse. I'm not good at waiting. Oh, what's with the face, huh? I remembered you were a doctor.
Two clips from the series Black-ish. I'm pretty sure, Tracy, that the sitcom kind of hit those on the head fairly intentionally.
Yeah, they were hit on the head intentionally. I think that was an episode where we were exploring some of those sort of microaggressions that occur that are part of the larger spectrum of what sexism can look like in this situation in the healthcare industry. I do want to say, you know, I play a doctor on TV, and I think one of the things that is important about that as a Black woman, or playing a doctor through the face and beingness of a Black woman, that it starts to also change the image of what that looks like. And that's part of what assists in having young girls know that that's something that's possible for them, that there's a real future in that and what it takes to be that kind of person. And in my career, I've been really, really choiceful about the kind of images that I portray and making sure that they sort of expand an idea of humanity that in particular areas have been very limited in the way that we are represented as Black women in entertainment really has an actual impact in how how we see ourselves and what you see as possible.
You just kind of reminded me of one of the comedy specials, the stand-up specials that W. Kamau Bell did about a children's cartoon series called Doc McStuffins.
Yeah,
and how now his little kind of mixed race daughter assumes that doctors are black women. And that he took her to a doctor and a white guy walked in and she was like, what the hell is this? Would someone please get rid of this white man and get me a real doctor? Like it's kind of amazing how those perceptions can be shaped. Have you noticed that in terms of the feedback from the audience?
Yes, I've noticed it from the feedback from the audience, but there's actual data that shows that culturally we influence policy. It takes time, but entertainment, it's like it tills the soil in terms of what we make space for in our consciousness. I don't believe that you always have to see it in order to know that it's possible. I think my aunt and my mom are examples of women who did things that were uncharted, that they were leaders of a pack and went down roads in their careers and lives and the choices that they made without having the example of other women that had done that before, let alone other women on television and in film and in music that had done the things that they had done. They somehow made those choices from, I don't know what space. That's a question I would have for Aunt Bobby. I often ask my mom that. Where did you find the courage to make some of those choices that you made? Because I know in the world that I live in today, with the amount of diversity that we do see and the courage that we see from women, even with the platform of Time's Up and, you know, the career that I have, I still I get nervous sometimes about making choices that I know are not the norm, that push up against the cultural norm. And so I do know the power of the image. I know the power of the roles that I portray on television and in entertainment. And I think there's actual factual data that it makes a difference. And I think there's also personal data for people in terms of, like, the example from Kamau Bell of his daughter in knowing what's possible and what choices there are. You know, it was very limited back in the day.
Dr. Ross Lee, what about you? Your perspective in terms of just the visibility of not only women in healthcare professions, but women of color in healthcare professions and the impact that has?
Of course, I've been in medicine a long time now, and I'd like to say that it has disappeared. I can still walk in a room and somebody will say, where's the doctor? You know, and although that is changing, it's changing much more slowly for minority females than for the majority female population.
I'm sorry, Dr. I just want to make sure, just so we're clear, when they say where's the doctor, they're presuming that you are like the nurse or the cleaning
aide,
staff or something?
Where's the food, you know? Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. And if you're not, you have a better chance of even... I have examples of women who were on an airplane when there was a medical emergency and not believing that this woman who was trying to assist was a female physician.
A doctor.
You know? Mm. So, it still exists. And the sad part is, and I think the real challenge for us, is that we still have the biases. And along with those biases come a lot of assumptions and marginalized expectations. Mm. So if they believe you're a doctor, they don't think you're really a good doctor. Mm. Or if they think you're a health professional, it's just like you're not the best because of who you are and not necessarily what you do. And this is... It really is a cultural phenomena. It is changing, and I can see a change. It still has a long ways to go, and that's why Time's Up is so very important at just this juncture, because it's like we're reaching that tipping point, and we can make it happen.
Dr. Ross Lee, did that put more pressure on you to perform when you were coming up in medicine, being like one of the few black women in your space? I can only imagine what kind of an obligation that can create for you now that you are, you know, at the table, to not just do your job, but to do it, you know, to get an A++ on everything you do.
Well, I think part of what helped me was I didn't focus on the environment that I was in. My motivation came from I wanted to be the best that I could be able to provide healthcare services for the populations that I would serve. So I could get into this little cocoon of mine, and it didn't. I had to know that to myself, for myself, that I was the best that I could possibly be, because that best had an impact on the quality of care that I could deliver to the populations that I wanted to serve.
Yeah, can I answer that same question though? Because I and I think also, you know, my aunt is saving lives, and actually offering care to individuals. I'm sharing entertainment and making people laugh and opening hearts in a very different way. But I have felt a very big sense of responsibility, both in how I carry myself, the choices that I make, and also what I fight for, you know, and knowing that because of the privilege that both my legacy has offered me, my education has offered me, and now my career has offered me, that I actually not only pay it forward, but actually use my vantage point to see what is not working, what is not correct, and use my voice in that way. And actually, I mean, if I even think of my own experience in fighting for appropriate pay at the juncture that I'm in my right. career, and how that moment became public, and that even in the publicness of that moment, I felt it was an opportunity to utilize the platform that I had to open up the doors about that conversation and what pay equity actually means, and also not shine the light, but lift up those other areas that are all dealing with pay equity. It's not just in entertainment,
yeah.
it's across yeah. the board. So I have felt a big sense of responsibility in the position that I'm in. And I think that has to do with the platform that I have. And I know, I mean, I just to say, I also feel like as a person of color, part of what you are raised with is the idea that you have to be better. You have to be the best in order to move forward because
yeah.
it's mm-hmm. the because of the inequity that exists.
Plus, you're living in kind of a hostile environment, or you're trying to excel in a hostile environment. And I learned early on, which is something I try to change for the students that I engage with in my current positions, but I learned very on that I could not trust the environment to give me appropriate feedback as to whether I was good, not good, could improve. I had to set those standards for myself because there were no role models out there that could say, hey, you can do this better. And there was you live in a world of assumptions about what you're capable of. And their expectations of the environment in healthcare were so low that if I were to just aspire to what they expected, I would be mediocre.
Yeah.
So I had to set my own standards.
I know our time with you is limited, and there's a few more things I did
want
to
ask
times,
you about. I know you do, but I have to cut you off again. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay,
I have to connect a dot here. So I was raised in a family of extraordinarily strong women. I have three amazing aunts. I had Bobby's mom. My grandmother was incredible. But what I just heard from my aunt is something that I've never heard articulated through her or my mother, but is exactly what I was raised with. So I've internalized that. And my standard of excellence is built on my idea of excellence and not how I'm seen. And that's an extraordinary example and lesson for everybody. And I just wanted to point that out because that was amazing. Aunt Bobby, it kind of brought a little tear to my eye. I just want to say that. Okay, what was your question, Joshua?
my question, and I will say just as a sidebar.
We're having a family reunion.
It's cool with me. Reune. It doesn't bother me a bit. Reune. I will say, though, Tracy, just as a sidebar before we keep going, when I first saw you on like Girlfriends or Blackish, I was like, she is awesome. And then later I found out who your mother was, and I was like, oh, well, okay, that makes sense. So,
yeah, I come from a stock of great ladies. It's no accident I became a powerful woman who uses her voice.
And indeed you did. Indeed you did. Let me ask you on the patient side, though, about the intersection of Hollywood and healthcare. One might presume, Tracy, that if you're working in film, in TV, at a certain level, you are way more likely to get awesome healthcare, white glove treatment, certainly compared to the everyday person. Has that been your experience as it relates to gender parity, gender equity treatment in healthcare?
I obviously, you know, I have a great union that that serves me well. But I will say this: when you talk about patient care, there is real, again, data about how Black women, women of color, and our pain is responded to. And I'm sure Aunt Bobby can speak way more to this. But in terms of patient care and how the pain of women of color is listened to and responded to in the healthcare system, I think that's an area of inequity that we are working on, and that's cultural to me.
And I like the what you brought up, Tracy and Dr. Lee. I was actually just going to ask you about pain management, because there have been studies that show that the way that doctors treat Black women as it relates to assessing and managing their pain are very different than the way they treat white women who express the pain that they're going through for whatever medical condition.
And Black men as well. It is a cultural thing, and it has a lot to do with how we perceive race and ethnicity in this country. Yeah.
We are speaking with actor Tracy Ellis Ross and her aunt, Dr. Barbara Ross Lee. More with them in just a moment. Stay close.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, ADT. America's trusted home security company can help protect you against break-ins, fires, and carbon monoxide. 24/7 emergency response when you need it most. More at ADT.com.
If you love this show, then check out Life Kit, tools to help you get it together. Learn everything from how to invest your money to how to make time for exercise and have fun while you're doing it. Check it out in Apple Podcasts or at npr.org/lifekit.
Back now to our conversation on equity in healthcare with Dr. Barbara Ross Lee and her niece, actor Tracy Ellis Ross. There's also been, Dr. Ross Lee, a great deal of talk in the last few years about Black women and mortality. You know, Serena Williams and Beyonce have been vocal about the dangers they face during childbirth, and studies show that Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely than white women to die from pregnancy-related complications. Now, I'm sure there is a myriad of factors for that, but in the context of something like times of healthcare, in terms of what you can do internally inside the system, in what ways might you be able to address that?
Fundamentally, if you have a workforce that is culturally sensitive, that it treats women in a way that's equitable, that translates to patient care. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a workforce, which is what Time's Up is aiming and focusing on, if you don't have that workforce, you cannot address those issues that are those disparities that are borne by racial and ethnic populations. You just can't do it. And so you got to start here in order to get there. And yes, by the way, many of the statistics related to maternal and child health and fetal or infant mortality, those percentages haven't changed much since slavery. We're still 2.5 times more likely for children of color to die, or for maternal deaths. In this day and age, there should never be a maternal death.
Clearly, the Time's Up initiative has brought a lot of vocal and powerful and influential women to the forefront to say things have got to change and they are going to change. One question I hear a lot from men is there's any role for us. So for the men who feel supportive of Time's Up, of Me Too, of these kinds of movements, what would you ask them to do? Or do you just need us to kind of get out of the way? Tracy?
Well, I think accountability is a real thing. And I also think this is a time for men to listen and ask themselves some real questions. There's a lot to learn and there's a lot of unlearning to do. I think there are some wonderful male allies. But if you're going to call yourself an ally, I think there's questions to ask yourself. What does that mean? And maybe there's a lot of listening to do. But we're attempting to create and envision a world that has not yet existed. So that requires a lot of I think, on men's part, sitting back for a moment and listening.
And doctor, I'll give you the last word.
Actually, I would say three things, and two of those Tracy's already said. Listening is really important. Number two is accountability in whatever position they hold of power, that they could make a difference. And add their voice to the discussion. Because for us to just do it for us, with us, is not going to make the kind of policy changes that we absolutely need to make in order for this, for us to be a part of the solution.
Dr. Barbara Rossley with the Advisory Board of Time's Up Healthcare. Doctor, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
And Tracy Ellis Ross, who plays Dr. Rainbow Johnson on the ABC sitcom Black-ish, a founding member of Time's Up and a member of the advisory board of Time's Up Entertainment. Tracy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This was a real treat for me.
This conversation was produced by Stacia Brown and edited by Miranda Fulmore. To learn more about them and the rest of our team, visit the1a.org/staff. And speaking of our staff, would you like to join our staff for the summer? Because 1A is hiring a summer intern. And yes, this is a paid internship, but candidates have to apply by April 18th. So if you want to sign up to be our summer intern, you'll find all the information online at wamu.org/internships. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thanks for listening. This is 1A.